Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz to Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
Yes. Yes, we are. Natalie's favorite Star Wars
that
movie.
That is just inaccurate. Is it really? It is inaccurate.
Okay, so I guess we should cover it at the end as to which our actual favorite is, because, you know, it's been a while since we watched all these.
I'll probably tell you when one of them is my favorite. This used to be a favorite of mine, and I'm
so familiar with it. I guess it's got to be sort of a favorite just due to familiarity.
I think, yeah, that's part of it. I think the one that I have watched the least number of times, other than, like, Rise of Skywalker... is Phantom Menace. I've seen those two the least. And there are probably reasons.
Yeah.
And there are reasons why.
There are reasons. But that's sort of the fun, is we can decide which things are best and which are worse, and at the end, grade them all.
I think this was one of my favorites growing up. And it's probably because it came out around the time when I was younger. And
the year you were born.
Yeah, well, yes, but...
like on DVD, maybe.
Yeah, and I remember there was one night where we were choosing one of the Star Wars movies to watch, and I threw a fit that we were watching New Hope instead of Attack of the Clones. And looking back, that's very short-sighted of me, but because New Hope is so much better.
It is, but I mean, when you look at your MO at that point, it was all about princessy princesses.
Yeah.
Or, you know, damsel in distress type princesses. And there's definitely a measure of
that. Is that New Hope as well, of like the whole damsel in distress thing? But I think
Carrie Fisher ain't no damsel.
No, but she is asking for help. But I mean, I think in general, the romance part of it was what drew me to it.
Yeah.
And
the clothes. Now let's face it, she's got way better clothes than Princess Leia ever had.
That's so true.
So true. So
this is different.
But we need to get started with it. So we have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing, likely, especially when we're talking about sand being everywhere. There will be spoilers for this movie. If you've not seen Star Wars movies, it's well worth the investment of time. It's not like, I don't know, it's not this horrible investment of time, but you really maybe should start with something other than Phantom Menace. And we are having something to drink.
Yeah.
Do you even know what this is?
Pink Cava.
It's a Burt Rosé Cava from Juve and Camps. It is a Spanish. First time I had this, it was paired with Serrano ham and was amazing. It goes really well with like spicy meat and things like that. Which is,
and you know that I love spicy meat.
That sounded so bad.
That's the joke, yes.
Yes, yes, we do. And we're enjoying this, so yay. All right, so we are doing this in pros and cons. For those of you who have been listening to this series or will be listening to this series, it's a pro-con list.
But first, let's go over the synopsis.
Yeah.
So this is a segment of these, like, much like the Jane Austen-a-thon and last episode about Star Wars, this is where I try to go through the plot as quickly and succinctly as possible and completely fail.
And mom tries to interrupt you because you forget things.
Well, yes. It's not that I forget things. I don't include them because they're not relevant
to you.
Yes.
But they may be relevant to the plot.
Whatever. Okay, so this Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, is basically all about this assassination plot against Padme Amidala. We met Padme last movie. She was queen, elected queen. Now she is the senator appointed by the queen and not elected, which, whatever the fuck that means.
None of this shit makes sense as far as the political system. But, you know, at the same time, I don't think that the Senate that they have makes a lot of sense either.
So. It's also not very clear that, like, how much time has passed between movies, because she is definitely more grown up and Anakin is completely recasted, so he's grown up now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be 10 years, because he says it's been 10 years since he's seen her.
Yeah, so
But she does not look 10 years older. She
she
looks maybe
doesn't.
two.
I don't know about two. I think she would be at least like four.
Maybe.
But
She still looks young adult-y.
so I would say that they are current. She's like 22-ish, and he's meant to be like 18.
But looks 22-ish or maybe even older.
Yeah, he looks early 20s, but he, I think, is supposed to be playing 18. So anyway, so there are these assassination attempts on Padme Amidala for reasons. The reasons being, she is against this bill in the Senate that is, sorry, not against. She is for this anti-army bill in the Senate. I think she probably was the one who was creating it or helped it come to fruition. Essentially, what the Senate is trying to do right now is have like a big army to defend the galaxy from any threats or whatever.
Right, there are separatists. It says it in the crawl. So there are separatists. Several solar systems have broken off from the Republic, and they are being led by Count Dooku, who and include this the federal the
Trade
trade
people
group
from last
from the last go around.
movie.
Yes, you will see the same people because they did not die the last time.
Mm-hmm.
So the same masks and the same robes and the same everything.
So what the Senate is considering is having an army of the Republic made and for them to be available to them in case of war. And Padme is against that because she's all for peace and she just wants to negotiate them back into the fold instead of just solving everything with violence, which is admirable, but at the same time, last movie, you when you were queen, these are the same people who were trying to like kill you and all of your people. So I'm confused about why you're so willing to negotiate with them.
Well, but she does, still have a decoy. She's still,
So many decoys, and I'm just like,
they're
why do I
around.
have so many? I think that was supposed to be. Well, no, I think Sabe maybe was, no, not Sabe. I don't know. Corday is the decoy that gets killed at the beginning of this movie, but I don't know if that was meant to be the Keira Knightley character from last
It's really hard to tell.
movie.
I think it might have
Unclear.
been, but I really don't.
She just says, "This is my decoy." I wasn't paying attention to a name for Keira Knightley. She says Keira Knightley. But
it didn't look like Keira Knightley this go around, so
it
whatever.
definitely wasn't. So either way, they are, that's a whole thing going on. And Emperor Palpatine, because he's emperor and he will always be in my head, he is like, okay, well, you need some more protection. She's like, no, I don't. It's like, well, you clearly do. And so I'm going to send Obi-Wan to be your protector for as a
And
Jedi.
of course, Obi-Wan's Padawan is
Is
Anakin.
Anakin.
And Anakin's been like having the hots for Padme this whole time,
Yeah.
apparently, which seems a little strange for an 8 or 10 year old boy. That's a bit premature, even
I
for.
genuinely feel like they should have aged up Anakin in the first movie.
In Phantom
Like this
Menace, for
movie,
sure.
with the context of this movie, there are so many edits I would make to the first movie. So many. And I will discuss them at a later time, but that's one of them. Aging him up to be like a horny teenage boy, like 13, 14, going into puberty. That would make a lot of sense for them being like, oh, he's too old to get trained. He's too unpredictable to
And
whatever.
right, and
Makes
also
so
makes
much more
so much
sense.
more sense for him, like being attracted physically to
If he was
Padme.
the same age as her.
Or even just a little bit younger. How
Like
guys
a
who are a
year or
little bit
two.
younger, can be annoying.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, like, they could still, yeah, they can still have like a little bit of a mini age gap, but not one that looks cavernous. Either
Like
way,
8 years.
yeah. So there's another assassination attempt, which we'll probably discuss later. And so they're just like, okay, well, we need to have her on the down low and we need to get her out of the city. So let's have her go back to Naboo, stay in a remote place, and keep her safe. Anakin, this is your job. Meanwhile, Obi-Wan, you're going to go check out a lead for who this assassin is. And so
It's
they
a
split
long
up.
sequence, and it's
There are a
full of
lot
we'll
of
discuss
long
it.
sequences. And so Anakin and Padme go back to Naboo, which is basically the Italian Lake Como-esque area, which is awesome
It
to
was
look
filmed
at.
in Bellagio. It is
It's gorgeous.
gorgeous.
And she wears
I think it's,
beautiful
oh my
dresses,
God.
and her hair looks immaculate. It's beautiful. And she's just gorgeous. Natalie Portman. Oh my God.
Yes.
And meanwhile, like some kind of tent romantic tensions brewing, but also it's really weirdly directed. So it feels weird. And again,
It's supposed to be brewing, but it's
but it's
very
weird.
vague and
There's maybe
awkward.
one sequence where I kind of believe it, and
We'll
we'll
talk.
talk about it
Yeah.
because I'll mention it in the best part. So then we've got Obi-Wan, who's on his own side quests where he's tracking down this poisonous dart that was left behind by one of the assassins who hired another assassin who sent bugs to kill Padme. It's a whole thing. And so he's tracking that down, and he tracks it to a planet system, whatever, that was erased from the Jedi maps and the records and all that stuff.
It's called
It's
Kamino.
called Kamino. And so he goes, and they're like, oh, great, a Jedi is here to pick up the army that they ordered. And it's like, that's not what
But
I'm here for, but okay, I'm gonna
let's
get more
find out some
information.
more about this army. And
And
so we
it's an
do.
army of clones, obviously. And so I say,
That they.
obviously, it's called the movie's called Attack of the Clones.
Right. It's.
So it's a clone army. The guy who is it was made from, the clones were made from, is this bounty hunter,
Named
and
Jango
he's
Fett.
absolutely so clearly the guy who was like sent to assassinate Padme.
Because he
And
has a Mandalorian outfit, which I really kind of feel like we need to dive into, or no, I'm sorry. They need to dive into more in the show or in the Mandalorian show or something like that, but they don't.
whatever. Well, they had a Book of Boba Fett
They did, but we
thing.
watched that and it didn't say much at all about
I
the
didn't watch
overall
all of that. I
side.
watched
Yeah.
maybe one episode. Either way, he is like, well, you're clearly evil. And so he tracks him all the way to a different planet, Geonosis, where droids are being made for the Separatist army. And it's a droid army. So he gets caught by Count Dooku, and Dooku says really weird shit to him and is trying to get him on side, and then he's like, well, no. And this is like, well, I guess you're just gonna die then. And meanwhile, before he gets captured, he sent out a message. Meanwhile, Anakin is doing this whole other side quest where he is
His
having dreams about his mom dying, and he's freaking the fuck out, so he goes to Tatooine with Padme.
yeah, we're gonna have the whole Anakin and Padme on Tatooine thing again. But again, it's like everyone's memory just keeps getting erased. Yeah, every time they go anywhere, it's like, oh, this is all brand new. It's like, why is it
Anyway,
all brand new?
he is wandering around, and he eventually finds out that his mom was sold to a different person but ended up marrying him. So I guess that worked out, if that was consensual. And
It
so
seems like.
it does seem like it was, but it could have if not been. And he meets his stepbrother and his girlfriend, who will become important
They are
later.
important later. They have names. Their names are
Owen and
Owen
Beru.
and Beru.
Yes. So he finds out that she was taken by some, what are they called again? Sand
Sand people,
people?
or they call them
Tusken Raiders,
Tusslanders.
that's who
Yes.
they are. And she was taken by them a month ago. And so the guy who's like basically his stepfather now is just like,
Love.
yes, whatever. I don't care. And he's just like, well, she's probably dead now. I think we've all accepted that. You need to as well. And it's just like, well, this is news to him. So maybe let him come to his own conclusion. So he goes off in search for her. He finds her. She's on the brink of death, literally like seconds away. For what reason? I guess starvation? Unclear.
Well,
And
I mean, okay, she is on a flame cross like you would see in Game of Thrones, except forward. She's strapped to it. She's got injuries, clearly. She's got injuries to her face that we and her wrists that we can see that are bleeding. The impression we get is that bad things been going on for her. Exactly what is hard to say. It could be sexual slavery, could be anything, it's hard to tell.
It could, but it also there at this moment there is no like one clear sign of why she's dying other than probably just lack of food, water, and bleeding. So She just happens to die at this point in his arms after telling him she loves him, and he freaks the fuck out and kills literally everyone in the village.
Including women and children,
As you
which
do.
upsets him. And you know, like when he talks about it, well, we'll get to it, but he talks about it with Padme. She does not freak the fuck out, as one might. And
And
then,
I'll discuss that later.
but they get a message from Obi-Wan that bad things are happening with Count Dooku and Jango Fett on another planet.
Geonosis.
Geonosis, where there's a droid army already, but they're discussing the fact that, hey, you know, there's why do they have a clone army? This is kind of weird. And so because of this message and that they see that something's going wrong for Obi-Wan, Padme's like, hey, I'm gonna go and you gotta come with me because it's your job to take care of me. So you're coming with me, Anakin, and we're gonna go and save Obi-Wan. Which they sort of, kind of, but not really
They
do. They
don't. So
don't.
they get there, immediately get caught, and
By a bunch of bugs, which I gotta tell you, bugs as aliens and creepy aliens,
not my favorite.
not my favorite. I don't like bugs anyway, but these are like giant flying roaches. Oh, awful.
Yeah. So they get caught, and instead of them being killed immediately, there's gonna be this whole like ceremony, and like it's gonna be a big spectacle
Yeah, it's
in
going
an
to be a
arena.
public execution involving monstrous things. I do want to add, just because I looked it up, apparently Jango Fett is a Mandalorian, which I find interesting for a bunch of reasons that I'm
Because he
going
takes
to
his
get
shit
to.
off.
Not just that, but you know, the fact that he is cloned, do those others become Mandalorians? Does it explain
No, I
their
think that's why
garb?
he wanted one to himself so that he could teach him the ways.
This is the way. But anyway, it's fascinating.
Is it? I
Okay,
don't find him
it is a
fascinating.
rabbit hole that you can do a deep dive on.
Sure,
Leaving
that's more
that
accurate.
aside, there's this big public execution right before it. Finally, Padme admits that she's in love with Anakin. They have this fight with the animals, and they're doing pretty well. And then the droids are sent in to actually finish them off. But then the clones and the Jedi come in and save them. In this fight, Jango Fett gets killed and Boba Fett is sad.
He gets decapitated.
Yeah, he gets decapitated with his
That's pretty
helmet on.
gruesome,
It is pretty
but
gruesome. They also then try to follow Dooku to keep him from leaving the planet and, you know, getting more solar systems on his side. So they follow him. And Anakin and Obi-Wan confront him. Doesn't go so well. Yoda comes in and it's doing great, honestly.
Well, Anakin's hand gets chopped off.
That would be part of the not going so well.
Yes. I'm not exactly sure why it gets chopped off. I guess dramatic effect, but because it happens in the original trilogy, we have to have it happen here.
So one of the points of, or apparent points of what happens with Anakin, because this first trilogy, the prequel trilogy, is about him, is that the more mechanical he becomes, the less human he is. And so the more things are taken away from him, the less human he is.
I feel like that would be true if it wasn't Count Dooku doing it. If this was taken away by like accidentally by a Jedi or
Yeah.
by like some kind of other entity that wasn't associated with the dark side, I would agree with you. That
Yeah, and that would make sense, but I'm
would
not
make a little bit more
sure.
sense to me.
Well, but at this point, Anakin is still very much on the light side of the Force, shall we say? So the Yoda's kicking butt, but as soon as Dooku threatens to kill Anakin and Obi-Wan, he goes to defend them rather than finishing off
I
Dooku. Dooku
thought the
gets
whole point of the
away.
Jedi was you can't feel.
Well, no, they say use your feelings. It's about honing them and focusing them rather than not having them.
They don't make that clear in the prequels. I
They
feel
don't
like they
make it
make that
clear.
clear in the original trilogy, but in the prequels, they're just like, well, you have emotions, so you can't do anything.
It's I think they have mixed messaging, and I think real life is mixed messaging, so maybe that's the issue. In any case, they Dooku gets away. and goes back to his master Palpatine, of course. And
They're still
Palpatine,
trying to hide the identity
right, but
of whatever reason.
Palpatine is now commanding this clone army. And so the clone army is now the army of the Republic.
He
And
also has control of the droid army.
yeah.
So
Well,
that's a
no,
worse part. I'll
technically
talk
the
about it later.
separatists do, the federal, the
No,
separatists
but
technically
he
do.
is a part of that too. I'm going to talk about that later.
Yeah. Okay. So is there anything else plot-wise?
Oh, Padme and Anakin get married.
Oh, a secret wedding.
Secret wedding.
Yeah, secret wedding by Lake Como. Nice.
Nice.
Be it's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Absolutely. So yeah.
He looks beautiful.
Yep. And that's pretty much it. So,
Yep.
and there's great music. Oh my God. So let's talk about pros and cons.
Yeah, first pro for me is music. I do love Padme and Anakin's theme. It's gorgeous. As any love theme needs to be, it's beautiful. And they have one for, well, I'm not going to spoil that either. But
Yes,
either
they
way,
do.
costumes, absolutely stunning. I love Padme's costumes when she's on Naboo especially, but even like when she travels to Tatooine, her little two-piece turquoise, aqua, whatever, like top and flowy pants.
Yeah, even in this like
Beautiful.
execution thing, she's got the cutest
It
little
ripped
yoga outfit.
perfectly.
It's just adorable. I would wear that.
I'd wear that too.
Absolutely.
Not as well as Natalie Portman, but
None of us would manage that, but there was a time,
she
maybe.
had like real abs as well.
Yeah,
Like we
well,
love to see
you know,
that.
she had to do all this training for this, all this running around and stuff.
So true. And I believe I saw somewhere that while she was filming this, she was also attending Harvard.
Yeah.
And she would be like studying in between takes. Amazing. What a woman. Then I also said focus on a love story. So what I mean by that is I like the idea of that. Is it executed all that well? No. But I love the idea behind there being a Star Wars love story that is focused on in like the main plot. Because in the original trilogy, we do have like a quasi love story that takes like a back seat, which it makes sense why it's not the focus of this whole thing. It has moments, but it's not like a big deal
But
in
it's more
the grand
compelling
scheme of
in
things.
many ways. But anyway, I
Well, again,
have thoughts about
the execution of this
why.
love story isn't great, is what I said. But I do like the idea of that. I think that they could have improved upon that with more scenes like the field scene, where they are discussing their views on the world, like they're, but also like having cute, playful banter while doing it. And you see a little bit of his dark side, but it's played off as a joke, and his belief in maybe more tyrannical rule, and her just being like, but we like democracy, right? And he's just like, yeah. But then they like roll around in the grass and it's all fine, it's cute. But I genuinely think that if they leaned more into the idea of them both having to have grown up too quickly, like she has a couple of lines about, well, don't grow up too fast or whatever. While he's trying to take on more responsibility as a Jedi because he feels he's ready, she was kind of forced to be what
A
a
politician,
political
yeah.
figure at such a young age, and she was relieved when her terms were up, and now that she's a senator, she feels more prepared now, but she also wants to make a difference. So I liked leaning more towards into that. I wish they did it more. I think that would have been a great point of like her balancing him out a little bit. But they don't really focus on that, so whatever. They're both hot. And so the general idea behind the assassination plot, I think they could have done some more interesting things about it. I wish there was more of an emphasis on like spies, in my opinion, because it could have been interesting where wherever they go, there's going to be some kind of presence lurking in the background.
Well, so this is
More espionage, more traitors, more like people in her inner circle you can't trust, or
So
like
part,
something.
right, so part of the stiffness or what is out there as part of the stiffness in the relationship and the direction and delivery, and I know we're going to talk about that more, was supposedly, according to interviews, like this was supposed to be like a 1930s film noir type or something like that. And there are things lacking for that, and some of it's visual. Some of it's direction, some of it is dialogue. And I'm sorry, all of those things are the responsibility of George Lucas in these
It is.
circumstances. But there are a couple of things that that His Girl Friday kind of vibe would have worked a lot better than
The
what Padmé's
banter,
giving.
yeah.
Yeah, like she's and I hate to say it because she's so gorgeous and beautiful, but she looks kind of ingenue. She does not look femme fatale. She does not look like,
I never got the impression that they were going for a film noir. I never did.
And so
Well, they lied because that's
maybe
not what this
this is
gives.
excuse of
That
me.
is
No,
not
not
what
at
they this
all.
gives.
Not at all. But
If
I
they
could see
leaned
it.
more
So
towards that,
this dialogue would work better if that were true. If
would
they,
it?
yeah, I think so. Like, like if you had somebody who was more of a mature presence than Natalie Portman.
I don't think it's her fault. I think
I don't think
that
it's her fault. I think it's just like visually, she doesn't come across like a femme fatale,
I
and
never
that's what
thought that that's what they were going for with
I.
Padme.
But
Not once.
okay, you try her lines with, say, a, I don't know.
Katharine Hepburn, like I
Yeah.
sure, but like that's completely different. And this is has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, but no, my point, Natalie, is like what you're saying is like there could be some spy stuff. There could be some real banter, but again, you have to direct it differently, and particularly
We'll get to the directing.
with the cast that you have. And I'm not faulting the cast. What I'm saying is that they did not compensate for the cast in the writing. Like if in his head George Lucas had a vision that this was going to go along like this, kind of a banter kind of thing, which it in the original trilogy it does. You have to have some with a different presence visually, and that can come through. Maybe that's what they were trying to do with some of these costumes. Maybe that was, but I honestly, I think some of it is voice.
I was not referring to any of that when I made this note.
I'm
What
so
I was
sorry.
referring to was the things around them. Like, there could be, like, her, like, secondhand guy with the eye patch and whatever.
Yeah,
I think
is he
he,
that is
like,
he does
is.
he have a monkey like in Raiders of the Lost Ark?
What I'm talking about is maybe he is in on it with the separatists. Maybe he. What?
Keep going, and then I will. I'm right here again to
I
push.
feel like they could have, I feel like they dropped the assassination plot like midway through the movie and just were like, all right, well, now it's a rom-com, but oh no, it's his mom, whatever. I feel like there should have been way more consequences for them going to Tatooine than just finding out his mom was dead. I feel like them being safe in Naboo was fine and them being in that little bubble's fine, but like that nothing really comes of her going to Tatooine with him. What if people found out her location and there was an attack? Or what if they had to do anything?
Darth
Like,
Maul showed up again.
he's dead. But
What I mean, though.
I'm aware of that. I think they could have done more with the assassination plot. And even, but I do like the general idea of it. I think they could have expanded on it more with more espionage and spies and like who can you trust? And there's a reason why they can't take public, they are only taking public transport and not like contract things because her plane got blown up at the very beginning. And so it's like,
Yeah, but they take like what's clearly a whatever plane or
from
spaceship from
Naboo to
Naboo. Yeah, like
Tatooine. And
yes,
again,
so
that should
stupid.
have had
But
consequences.
I will say this: you had suggested that we weren't going to get somebody with an eye patch in this, and we
I
did.
totally guessed anything.
Yes, you did. In the last episode, you were saying, "Oh, we're not going to have an eye patch.
We're not gonna
It's
have
not going to be
Lord
Lord
John
John Grey." It's
Grey.
like we
He's not
do.
Lord John Grey.
It could be.
He's not, though.
Could
He's
be.
not.
Anyway, so what other pros do you have?
Cast. I think that, and I do love, I think I love Natalie Portman, but I like her better in other stuff. I think she's fine in this, but she's kind of like a middle ground for me. Because I don't think the director did her any favors. But the two people who do stand out to me are Ewan McGregor and Christopher Lee. Because Ewan McGregor, I don't like a massive change from last movie to this movie because he's had to grow up and
Be a
become
mentor.
a mentor. And again, I'll talk about that in my worst parts, but not about Ewan McGregor, but about like the direction of his character. I think that he is one of the very, very few actors who makes this dialogue work for him. And
It's
it takes a
sarcasm.
lot.
It's British sarcasm. He's very dry, and he's like, oh,
I
okay.
guess. I think just generally he's able to make it work in a way that other people can't. And Christopher Lee, of course, is an insanely amazing actor, and so we, of course, love him.
He can do anything with the least of what's
Yeah, it's
available.
true.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked them. Count Dooku being Qui-Gon's master and having that connection to Obi-Wan is an interesting idea. Again, I'm giving them props on the interesting ideas that they had, even though they don't expand on them at all.
Yeah.
Do you want to buy some death sticks? Is also a best part. I love that line. Why
The
that's
whole
so funny.
repetition of the of Obi-Wan in a bar, which comes up in other contexts, is hilarious.
What?
Obi-Wan in a bar, like in the original trilogy, and
Oh,
like it, you know,
sure.
these things happen, and he's always hilarious in a bar.
Sure. Developing the relationship between Anakin and Palpatine, because is a moment where they discuss, oh, well, we've been discussing this, and oh, it's only through your mentorship that I'm able to like really navigate this. They clearly are already getting close, and there's a lot of trust there. And Anakin was defending him at the beginning of the movie, being like, oh, well, he's not corrupt. Hilarious. Naboo's planet design is very pretty. I like it. And seeing signs of Anakin's dark side, I think, is very, very important. Like with the field scene and the massacre. What were your best parts?
Oh my gosh, I've got a longer list than I would have expected. It's certainly a longer list than I had for Phantom Menace, which, you know, okay, it was pretty short for Phantom Menace. But I have a longer list of cons than I do pros. So I like that the stakes are higher in this movie than in the first one. So there are better stakes, more compelling stakes. You know, you've got a romance that you can, you know, like, oh my gosh, you know, are these people going to survive in this world? These, you know, two little people in a world that's all screwed up. You know, does anyone care about that? There are, you know, stakes for obviously the bigger picture, the macro, as we've discussed, the Republic versus, you know, is it going to become a dictatorship? Is it going to be taken over by, you know, your Dooku Federalist whatever stuff? I like the fact that, you know, at least things have progressed some. People actually die that we know and we care about at the beginning, which none of that had happened in Phantom Menace. I mean, okay, I say that Qui-Gon Jinn died, but we had so little of him that we didn't feel vested in him at all. It's sad, but it's not like, you know, it's not quite the tragedy you would expect it to be. Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan, I think, is amazing for many reasons I'll probably discuss in various other ways, but I think he's great. I love like all of his line delivery, which sounds so offhand, but when you know the context of these films or the story, he's walking into the bar, is like, why do I think you're going to be the death of me, to Anakin. Foreshadowing, hilarious. I love that like Como is in this because, you know, despite the fact that it really is not a planet or a galaxy far, far away, gorgeous. I don't care what planet, it's just gorgeous. I love the romance theme. I agree with you. I think that's fantastic. I like the, and I know you find some of these side plots really boring. I like the way they have brought in Jango Fett and the Kamino clones. I think that it is very important to the overall story, to the macro story. There are things about it that probably seem dragged out, but I like that whole development. I like the Jango Obi-Wan fight because there is one. It is really well choreographed. It's really kind of cool. And again, there are stakes. And of course, I had that question: is Django Mandalorian? Apparently, he is. I love Padme's clothes. Oh my goodness! Even her dominatrix outfit. Love it. Love it. Love it. I would wear that. Absolutely love it. I love that Natalie Portman really carries her weight. In these love scenes, and some of it, she's so much more experienced as an actress than
Yeah, she
Hayden
is the best part.
Christensen.
I shouldn't have taken her off the list.
So she brings a lot more to these scenes than Hayden Christensen does. She cannot overcome some of the godforsaken dialogue, because there's godforsaken dialogue, or the godforsaken direction.
Yeah, I think that she also has a harder job considering she's supposed to be the one who's more reserved in the relationship, and she's trying to, like, he's supposed to be the more outspoken. These are my feelings and I feel them so hard. And she's just over here like, hold on, let's think this through.
Let's think this through,
While
but
he's trying to do that, I could tell he is trying. And I don't know if that's just Hayden Christensen or if that is a combination of just him and George Lucas. I think it's a combination. I'm not going to lay all the blame on his door.
No, but I think some of it's an experience on his part, because he doesn't have other roles that he can draw on that I'm aware of. Now, of course, I'm sure he has like acting roles. That's how he got the job. But I don't think that he has the level of experience that Natalie Portman did, because she was a child
I
actress.
mean, they were both pretty young. Let me see
Yeah,
how
but
old he
she
was.
was her first movie. She was like much
No.
younger.
I'm talking about, like, in this movie, like, him being young and inexperienced makes sense.
But I feel like her presence on screen is more compelling than his. Now, I will say this: I've seen a number of things, because my feed, anytime I talk about Star Wars, gets all Star Warsy, and it ends up having all kinds of things about lightsaber fights. And apparently, Hayden Christensen was amazing from day one at that. And then, like, they went there's a Kenobi show, and he came back, and also
That
there's
was great.
he was amazing in that, and he was amazing in that one with who was his
Ahsoka?
panel? Ahsoka. Unbelievable. Like, he had not been on screen with a lightsaber for years, and he's just killing her. I mean, like, it's amazing.
I will say,
I
I just looked it up. He was 21 when they were
okay.
doing this. And so, yeah, he's young and obviously you can get better over time and you will, hopefully. But, like, yeah, I
He
will
definitely
say
did. Like,
his
he came back
action
and reprised
scenes,
this role. He's done so
no,
much
yeah,
different.
his action scenes are fantastic. I don't think that's ever been the issue. It's the dialogue scenes with, like, big emotions that is like,
And it is a big ask when you're doing a movie like this that has both. And so I feel like, I'm giving him a little grace. He's not a best part, but I'm not going to put him as worst part either.
I'm not
Spoiler.
either. That's not on
Spoiler.
him, I don't
No, I
think.
don't think it's all on him.
I think a good director can, much like we were talking about the child actors last movie, I think a good director can work with whoever they have and make them look in
Make
the
them
best
better.
light.
Yeah, make them better. Yeah, I agree. Or edit
Or
or
choose the
whatever.
right take or, like, whatever.
Exactly. Or yeah,
If you can
I
get it
do.
out of them,
But I really feel like Natalie Portman carried her weight in this.
Yes.
Christopher Lee, underutilized. Absolutely love him. When you were talking about it, I'm like, Ewan McGregor and Christopher Lee. Yeah, I think we are British. We are Anglophiles anyway. So I think that there is a tendency there, but his voice, my God, he could do anything.
Read me a bedtime story, Christopher Lee.
I find it really interesting, and we've already mentioned Hayden Christensen. I feel like his best scene, this is my opinion, is when his mom dies. I feel like I actually feel something from him in a way that is appropriate to the scene that
When the
he's
music
in.
changes.
Not even when he changes to, being angry. I think before that, like, just that, like, his facial expressions are a lot more genuine, I think.
I do agree. I think that my favorite of his is actually when he's explaining it to Padme.
That's here. I'm getting
I figured it
to.
was, but I didn't mention it, but I didn't put it in the best part because I don't like Padme's half of it.
Yeah, I
I
don't
think
either.
that her reaction makes no sense,
It
or her
doesn't.
lack of reaction makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
When she's all about peace and no war and no whatever, that's been her entire personality this whole movie. And she's suddenly like, oh, well, you killed a whole village of people.
Well, but I
Well,
love you, Anakin, so it's okay.
yeah,
It just
I talk about it in my worst parts, what I would do, have done with that scene, but I do think his half of it makes a lot of sense and is well done.
Yeah, so my very next line, my very next pro was that the Vader music starts with him admitting to Padme
Yeah.
that he killed this village of sand people. And he gets that really dark villain look, and he does that really, really well.
He
I mean,
does.
honestly, I Hayden Christensen, we complain about his other scenes, but this is something he does really, really well. He displays
I really do think the
anger, and
director let him down in a lot of those other
yeah, I do
scenes.
too. I love that Padme Hetera is better in this movie than it was in the first movie. While I hate them, I think the fact that the bugs are what Anakin has to fight when they get to Geonosis. It's creepy and scary, and it makes that scene a lot more compelling than it might have been another if it were droids again. You know what
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean?
If it was droids again, I'd be so pissed off.
Yeah, Mace Windu and the Jedi being badass. Let's face it here. I love Samuel L. Jackson in just about anything, and he does some stupid shit early that will be in my con list, but I feel like him coming in and like saving the day with his purple lightsaber is really just, it's good entertainment. It's just straight good entertainment, and I love it. And I love the other Jedi's doing it too. Like we had not to this point seen the Jedi working as they call themselves peacekeepers in this, which I find interesting. But
Sounds like Hunger Games.
I had not seen, we haven't seen like a massive Jedi. We've only seen like, two or three fighting each other. To have this big Jedi fight, that's pretty badass. It's really cool. Mace killing Jango Fett again, like really well done, well choreographed. Love it. I think Christopher Lee, who actually, if you ever look him up, actually had at one point done things with swords in the military. Him being badass with a lightsaber, not surprising because he's Christopher Lee, but still, like for someone his age, excellent. Yoda, like again, comes in and it's like, damn, that's really pretty amazing. We never knew Yoda could do any of this because the Yoda when he's introduced is this old, and he's on a cane even at this point. But he is purely defensive, which I'm not sure that I like that part of it. I have questions about that, but I love that he is, as capable as he is, both in the, with the Force, with repelling the Force lightning, and with like just using obstacles and things in the space as weapons. Love the secret wedding. I do. I've got that girly thing. I
Yeah.
really do. And again,
And the music's going
the
and
music's going, the scene is beautiful. It's just great. What are your cons?
Hayden Christensen's rat tail.
You just hate that whole thing for Padawans, don't you?
I do. The writing, like, I don't like sand. It's coarse, rough, and irritating. All synonyms, I might add. And it gets everywhere.
It's
Like,
everywhere is a different one. You could say ubiquitous. That would be cool.
I genuinely think that the writing is absolute dog shit. And it makes me so mad. And it's not like they even had the excuse of like the bad Netflix writing that happens today.
The AI shit.
They have this writing where they're something happens and then they're like, for example, when they track down that assassin who tried to kill Padme, who was hired by another assassin who was told to kill Padme,
That would be
they
Django, who's the other assassin.
yes, Jango uses a poison dart to kill this assassin, and with they take out the poison dart and say poison dart. Like, that's so fucking stupid.
Oh God, the dialogue is just terrible. I mean, Yoda, predictor of the past,
It's
is something I list as a bad part.
very quippy. And especially in this in the fight scenes, and it's similar in many ways to Marvel dialogue and fight scenes, but whereas in Marvel they're directed better, so I don't mind it quite as much. Whereas now in this movie, it makes me roll my eyes. And I think that they generally wanted it to be more lively than the last movie, which I am very appreciative of. I really like that they did not want to bore us to tears. But their version of entertaining are these extra long sequences of battles or mini fight scenes that go on way too long. And this does not have to be a 2.5 hour movie, in my opinion. This could have easily been a quick 90 minutes. And I think that if they had just edited things down better and just rebalanced things, it would have been a lot better. So yeah, the writing in general sucks ass, and it makes me very upset that these poor actors had to recite this.
Fair.
Separating Anakin and Obi-Wan, I understand for this movie why it was needed. I think the next movie is where it really bugs me, but I also wanted to point it out here because we only get talk about the old adventures and like not really diving deep into their relationship, which should be the focal point of this series because it is what shapes Anakin the most, other than his love for Padme, which is focused on in this movie. I think that Obi-Wan, we should have seen way more of. Oh, okay. So, what I was talking about before when I was mentioning what I would do differently in the first movie, and I mentioned this when we did the last episode of the podcast, but I would have had Anakin and Obi-Wan interact way more. I think it also could have been very interesting if I know you got Liam Neeson, I know that. Kill him halfway through and have Obi-Wan take over. Have him, we needed to see the early stages of Obi-Wan figuring out how to be a mentor and Anakin and him warming up to each other. We needed to see that relationship blossom for us to understand where they are today. Because although Anakin says he's like a father to me, it's just like, is he? You kind of act like brothers, and that's fine, but you need to establish that.
Right, you because again, you the he rebels against Obi-Wan in a way. It's much more sibling-like, the dynamic. You're right.
And again, that's fine. And you're probably closer in age as brothers than a father and a son. But I also just think like he was seeing a little bit more of like what Anakin means when he's complaining to Padme, like, hey, I'm probably further ahead than he is. I have all these midichlorians. Obviously, he doesn't know that really, but he has all this power and he feels like he's surpassing his own like mentor, and he feels like, oh, well, I'm ready for this. It's just like, but you're way too hot-headed, you're way too emotional, you're way too this, that, and the other. And he just can't see that. I think that them diving deeper into their relationship and more about why Obi-Wan is concerned for Anakin, and I think keeping the Anakin like being a little bit like, well, I'm better than him, whatever, blah, blah, blah. That's fine, but we need to see more from Obi-Wan when it came to that. And whatever, he was moving the plot forward. And I also just think in general, seeing more of Obi-Wan's character and his inner turmoil, because he was the one who lost his mentor last movie. What was the transition like into becoming a mentor? What were those growing pains like? How did you feel about having to take the mantle when you said you were ready, but maybe you weren't. Maybe you start second guessing yourself about being ready and prepared. There are also several moments in this movie in particular, where we see kind of a flip in character between them when at the very beginning, when the bugs being sent by the assassin who was sent by the assassin goes into Padme's bedroom. Obi-Wan's the one who jumps out the window to like catch the droid. when that's way more of an Anakin thing. And then he complains about Anakin doing something similar later on, like maybe 5 minutes later.
The degree of difficulty for Anakin is significantly higher too. He's not like jumping onto a droid that you know is supposed to lead you somewhere. He's just jumping out of the vehicle, and you don't even know if he's going to catch up with this assassin or not. He's just kind of free floating for a very, very long time.
Well, I just generally think that that would be okay if they had mentioned, well, maybe I'm still the hot-headed young Padawan that I used to be, but and I need to grow out of that. What if this was Obi-Wan's journey was maturing and being more wise and being more aware of like what he's giving off to Anakin so that Anakin can grow in a more
Right, but we
palatable
had, I
direction?
guess they had to show us that that existed to begin with sometime, and they threw it in here instead of
Instead of in the
into
first
my.
one, even though that would make more sense.
This is part of the reason Phantom Menace sucks, by the
One
way.
of them. How many decoys do you have, Padme? I'd love to know. And like, do you just recruit every like mid-sized brunette?
Yeah, pretty much. Are you an attractive brunette? You can be my decoy.
Whatever. Jar Jar, he didn't need to be back, and he also gives the power to Palpatine, which
Oh my
whatever.
God.
It's never true. I guess the knowledge of there being a clone army gives made the everyone think, oh, we need to give emergency powers to the Palpatine. Why?
Well, because, okay, it's kind of like all the other bureaucratic things. It sounded like in order for him to raise a standing army, he needed to have the power to
Right, the
do
bill
that.
wasn't through yet about like whether or not they were going to
Right,
soon.
and it seemed to be lost in committee, so it was like, fuck it, we're
Even
doing
though Padme, who Jar Jar is filling in for, was against the whole army idea. Jar Jar, what the fuck are you doing?
Jar Jar sucks.
Jar Jar does suck. The Jedi
But
being dumb.
he's goaded into it because he's stupid.
The Jedi being dumb, like the Jedi Council specifically
Yeah,
being
I've got that
dumb.
in here too.
Count Dooku would assume their whole thing at the beginning of this, when Padme's like, I think Count Dooku might be behind my assassination attempts, which turns out later to be correct. He is assisting the people from last movie, the trade people, to assassinate her as payment for them to contribute to their army. That is the whole thing. Count Dooku is behind it, and Padme figures that out because obviously he's head of the separatists. Of course, he's against her and
Well,
against her being against the whole army
and
thing.
working with the separatist federalist, whatever, the federal trade, whatever thing.
Although it doesn't make much sense considering she's against the like having an army to fight against the separatists.
Because peace and negotiations will work. That's part of their discussion in
That
the
could be
field,
her
normally.
mentality, Mom, but that could be her mentality, and that still wouldn't work with the separatists. The separatists
But
should
this is how
not
she learns
want,
that. This is how she learns.
but the separatists shouldn't want them to get an army. So they should be in support of Padme's idea of, oh yeah, they can pretend to have like negotiations all they want. It's what they did last movie.
I don't have an explanation as to
That
what the
makes no
separate.
fucking sense.
They just want her dead.
Fine.
Makes
Anyway,
the stakes interesting.
it does make the stakes interesting. I only wish that they had better reasoning. Either
Fair.
way, them being like, well, Count Dooku was once a Jedi. It's not in his character to assassinate anyone. First of all,
That's Mace Windu saying that shit. Fucking bullshit.
first of all, you guys kill people all the time. Second of all, he used to be a Jedi. We don't know what he's like now. You don't understand what he's like now.
Decades,
He's
what the hell?
Saruman.
Saruman.
Saruman. He
Saruman.
can go all Saruman on our ass.
That's true. At some point, we are doing Lord of the Rings. I'm just saying it again.
Sure, whatever.
It's going to happen.
So I don't understand why they're so short-sighted in that of just like, what, okay, so he used to be a Jedi. Did he retire? Is that how that works? That clearly is not how that works.
Okay, and maybe this is the time for me to say this, although that was also a con for me. What I'm getting from this is this conversation where Mace Windu says this happens in Palpatine's office with Palpatine present. What that tells me, because right before that, Yoda is talking about how the dark side obscures things,
They say that at least 50 times
they
in this
do,
movie.
and in the previous movie. So in
It's just
case
an
you are
excuse for
missing
them
it.
not to pick up on who Palpatine is.
But the thing is that what that tells me is Palpatine's really fucking powerful. If he's obscuring it even to like the Jedi Council, in his presence, like he is getting away with shit. in a way that you would not expect a regular just dark Lord of the
Here's the
Sith
thing,
to
though.
do.
I always thought of Palpatine's biggest power, it isn't lightning hands, which we find out later that he can do. It is manipulation. And I
Yes.
think that that makes way more sense than him just having mind powers to obscure their, like, I don't know, gaydar, like whatever the fuck that is, dark side gaydar. Like, I don't understand why it
That sounds just wrong.
is wrong.
Oh boy. But yeah,
Dark side radar is what I mean, but I think that that's a really poor excuse.
but manipulation is a dark side power, right? And so that's kind of Yoda's point, although he doesn't say it that way, and you know, it's kind of an interesting and weird development, or but it's interesting to me that I guess they're making it out that none of these good Jedi could possibly even think that someone would turn into a bad Jedi. It's like, what are you thinking, people? This is insane. You should know better.
Anyway, Palpatine's weird ass plan. All right, so Palpatine, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like I'm
Not.
just reciting what happens. Palpatine raises two separate armies to fight against each other at his own expense, and just to like wreak havoc so that he could cause chaos and become king of space, which he already kind of is.
So here's the thing. I think he's trying to streamline things.
What do you mean streamline things? He's causing a many-year war.
His idea of streamlining things is he's just going to make everyone fall in line and do what he wants, and everything will be more efficient if he does what he wants, is kind of exactly what Anakin says in the field. Like, you know, if people won't agree, then we use aggressive negotiations, which again, Padme is willing to do in certain circumstances if her life is at risk. So, you know, I think everyone, and when their personal life or personal stuff is at risk, the all of that, you know, let's be peaceful all the time thing goes out the window. Or to some extent. I mean, some people are never going to fight for themselves, but somebody should fight for them because they should. But my point is that what he's trying to do is have no dissent. Like, he doesn't want to have an argument about it. He doesn't want to talk about it. He doesn't have fucking committees. He wants everyone to do what he wants all the time.
But he got that power. He doesn't need to actually start a war anymore.
No. So, like, being the head of the Senate, is not enough, right?
Well, what's his plan?
His plan is to be emperor, and when you're emperor, there are no committees, there are no rules. You can change
Great.
whatever the fuck
But
you want
why be
all the
in the
time.
Senate at all if that's what your plan is?
Because it's an inside job. It looks like everyone's agreeing, which actually is a line that Amidala has in the next movie, which we haven't seen in a while.
But I just don't
People are
understand.
assenting to it, and therefore they don't get to argue back when you're like, hey, you told me I could do this.
He, we'll talk about it next movie. I cannot deal with his rise to power because it
Well,
makes no
you
fucking
know,
sense to
there's a
me.
bunch of empire type stuff, and I've been listening to a lot of podcasts that deal with historical empires, and it's very interesting to see how this parallels. So, yeah.
I would understand it better if he was actually making allies and not just destroying people.
Do you think he wants allies? I don't think he gives a fuck about allies.
He's
I think what
I
he
don't think he does
wants.
either. That is
So
like,
what
why
he
is he spending
wants.
so much time in the Senate is my question.
What he wants is to justify his actions to himself.
I don't think he needs to justify his actions to himself. He's just evil. Also, it's been 10 years. What has he done in 10 years? And also, is he just gonna be like whatever high senator or whatever forever? Like, are
Chancellor.
there no terms?
Well, be a term. Terms. It's not a thing.
I guess it's a lifetime appointment unless they. But here's another thing. If he causes chaos in the Senate, and he doesn't get emergency power. He could have a vote of no confidence, much like the last guy.
But then he will kill them.
Yeah, then it doesn't matter.
But then
In the end, it doesn't
and that's
matter.
that's the whole point. Maybe that's the whole reason they needed to get Padme out of the way, is not necessarily this specific thing, but that she knows the mechanism now. She knew the mechanism when she was queen is, oh, we can do a vote of no confidence. Like, a lot of people don't know all these bylaws and bureaucratic rules and that kind of stuff, and she does, and she's kind of dangerous. I think that's the
I think
whole
other
point.
people know how to do a vote of no confidence. Either way, I still think his whole plan is dumb and convoluted and
I'm
stupid.
not saying it's good. I'm saying it's.
Also, giving her protection of Jedi, I guess, to get Anakin closer. But why would he want to hurt him to get closer to Padme when Padme's just gonna, he wants her to die anyway?
Inside information.
He doesn't get any information, though. He doesn't ask for anything.
He can mind read. He can.
That's so
Look,
fucking stupid. This
I'm
is
just dumb.
dumb.
Whatever.
Anyway, Anakin being whiny. It's a double-edged sword just because it proves that what the Jedi Council was saying before about his emotions clouding his judgment. And again, I feel like that would be more impactful if he was like a tween in the last installment and was growing up into like
A
an
20
adult.
something, yeah.
I wish Padme didn't know about the massacre until the next movie because it would cloud her judgment on what Anakin is capable of. Because the fact that she knows that he murdered a whole town of people, and then she finds out next movie about some shady shit he does in the next movie, and then she's like, he couldn't do that. It's like, yes, he could. He literally did. He
You
did it with
definitely know
no
that he's,
qualms.
yeah.
And yes, he had a reason, quote unquote, last time. He doesn't have one this time. So I don't understand what's not clicking for you. So I think that would make way more sense if like Anakin was just like, oh, well, and he had probably at that point in the third movie, if he were to tell her then, be like, oh, well, I did it because they stole my mother away and it's this and this that. If he like if they had that conversation then, or if she just found out about it, I think would be way more impactful next movie than it was this movie when they did nothing with her reaction. Yoda being so fucking dumb.
Oh,
Oh my
Lord.
God, it's so infuriating. My pitch for Yoda in these prequels is he still should have been on Dagobah and been the wise guy they always go to for like any like he can hologram in and be like whatever, but the fact that he is in there in it not noticing all the bullshit that's going on makes me feel like he is just not capable of anything. He seems so incompetent as a force user, as the head of anything, with him not knowing anything about the dark side, being a part of anything, him when Obi-Wan literally says what Count Dooku, which I will talk about next, about fucking Dooku telling him about the fact that there is someone has infiltrated the Senate, which is, I think is so weird and convoluted, but him telling Mace Windu and Yoda about, hey, this is what Dooku said, and Yoda being like, well, that was probably a trick. Not in wanting, really wanting to investigate. Mace Windu's the one who's like, well, maybe we should investigate this. And it's just like, yeah, sure, whatever. But like,
So,
what are you talking about?
here's my thought process. Yoda, and when we see Yoda doing regular Jedi stuff, like, which is by that I mean like the day-to-day, his function is to teach kindergartners. And I don't know, this is going to sound terrible, but I don't know how many kindergarten teachers you know, but they are very nice people and they're very trusting people
Very
because
true.
they are dealing with children, and children, while they do bad stuff, are fairly easily corrected. And so they trust a lot more, and because they've seen like things can work themselves out later, whatever. There is that concept of, hey, people aren't all bad. That you will see for somebody whose day-to-day is that. And then, like, some of the rest of us deal with real bad shit. And it's kind of like, no, no, this isn't a nice person. No, it's not going to be okay. No, you need to be a lot more cynical and skeptical than you are. And I think that's why he's on the council, is like he knows about training younglings and stuff like that. And he knows a lot about the force in the positive senses, like, you know, he's very good at the defensive stuff, like that early Taekwondo kind of thing where you're learning, you know, all the white and yellow belt and that kind of stuff. You're learning the basics and it's purely defensive. But when you need to use your skills in an offensive way to prevent harm, he can't even conceive of that. And that's shown even in the fight he has with Dooku. I mean, he just cannot get past the principle of, you know, there's no such thing as a preemptive strike. There's just nothing in his nature that allows for that. And, you know, that's hundreds of years for him in the making, but I think that's part of what we're seeing with him.
Yeah, it still does not change my opinion of the fact that it makes him look very incompetent.
It does.
And he's supposed to be the wisest, the bestest, the everythingest of all the Jedi. He's the one who has the reigning authority. He's the really wise person that we meet in the original trilogy. And I feel like them having him around as much as they do in this trilogy was a mistake. I love Yoda. I don't think that he needed to be as heavily implemented in this trilogy as he was.
Certainly not as the voice of wisdom or anything else. But again, you know, you need somebody who's maybe he's not necessarily, he's like the purest of them, not necessarily the
That would have been
wisest.
fine,
And I think
but
that,
them looking to him as the wisest and
right.
him being this incompetent really jades me.
Well, right. And it should jade someone like a Mace Windu or someone like, you know, Obi-Wan or whatever. And I think that that's. There's some truth in that. There's some reality in that. Like someone who is put out to you as being super wise, but is so pure in their beliefs that they're foolish, exists. And sometimes you will trust that person, you know, like a long way before you realize, like, you know, we're gonna have to compromise on some of this because what you're seeing is clearly not true. And I think that that's, you know, that pulling back into the gray area is something that is important to just the whole concept of good and evil, and you know, they are using it as the force in this context. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to
No,
interrupt
and just
you.
in general, I think that they should have just rethought his character in
Yeah, he
in this
doesn't see
trilogy.
gray. He really does not.
No, and I think that that's not really him. I think that in the original trilogy, he was able to at least empathize with Luke, who we'll talk about later. They,
Because
I
right
think
now you don't know who Luke is unless
because
you're
he
like Laura.
understands, it's like, yes, I understand why your emotions are leading you this way, but you need to stay strong or whatever. In this, he's just like, you have feelings, shut the fuck up. It's just like, it's
Well,
very.
except that he also says to the younglings, use your feelings, reach out with your
It's
feelings.
so, and then again, this is just the writing being shit of like,
Oh, I
choose a
agree.
fucking lane. If they, it would be one thing if they all were like black and white at the beginning of this trilogy and things as they moved on in the Star Wars, things changed. Things do change in like the what, however many years are that take place between this trilogy and the original trilogy. Things change. Understood. But they need to show that because we don't see all that much. And so you need to choose a lane. Anyway, convoluted Dooku plot with him telling Obi-Wan about Darth Sidious. I don't understand why he does that. Maybe I'm stupid. I don't understand why he mentions Darth Sidious at all, considering he is working for him. The only reasoning I could think of is, hey, you want to get on our side? We have this insider information. This is stuff you tease with. This is not the information you give right off the
Yeah,
bat, Dooku.
but except that this sh again, like this
Shit
movie
writing.
is, well, this movie is just maybe half a step ahead of Phantom Menace in the directed toward 8-year-old boys.
Yes, it is. And so him being like, hey, we have this insider information, and then it's just like, well, he's either going to say yes and join us or he's going to die, so it doesn't really matter that I told him this either way.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't die, and then he's just like, he doesn't even tell Darth Sidious at the end, hey, I told them this. This might be a concern. You might need to keep an eye out for this. He doesn't mention any of that. He just shows up and is just like, I did as you asked, or whatever the fuck he says. And it's just like, well, okay, great. What? That makes no sense. Like, you telling him that information is insider information that they were holding over them for 10 years. You had that for 10 years. And also, I think that it would have really helped if Dooku was shown in the first movie. If they had thought ahead and been like, this is what we want to do for the next movie, and we're like, okay, we need to set him up as someone that Jedi trust. So him turning to the dark side seems like more of a surprise to them. Or like we know him as Qui-Gon's master and all that stuff. Like that would have been so
Could
much
be a
better.
background kind of
It didn't
character,
even
like
need to be
somebody on the
anything.
council, you
Off the
know.
castle, and then for what reasons unexplained, he goes missing. And then he just turns up. Is this like Count Dooku? We haven't heard from him in 10 years. What are you talking about? And then it turns out he
Has
replaced
switched to the
Darth
dark side,
Maul. And he has a red lightsaber. That means he's evil. We know this.
yeah.
We
It's
know this to
not.
be true.
We don't get to see his red lightsaber until later. And
Oh my
anyway, do you have any
God.
other worst
That's
parts?
what I wrote down.
Okay. So my worst parts are, oh my God, I can't even read some of these.
Just anger.
Seriously, I cannot. Yeah, the council's deliberate blindness, and it does seem to be deliberate. We've talked about that. Bad green screen, again, pisses me off. And I think some of it is that our tech for televisions and everything else has improved significantly, but it is so obvious. Like, even like Palpatine in his office with his
The
view
green
of
screen.
Coruscant is so green screen, it's so sad. I think it's terrible. Jar Jar being a moron again, still, always. Fucking hate Jar Jar. Unnecessary as a character. You could have had, like, you didn't have to make him on top of being stupid. People have talked about Jar Jar as a character being racist. It's like it's almost racist the way they treat him. In part because of the language, like he's really dumb. He's like, and he uses, Spanish, muy muy whatever. It's muy muy whatever. Muy muy glad to see you or something like that. It's like, first of all, that's not good grammatical Spanish. But second, are you saying like I mean, is this like a thinly veiled something toward Hispanic? It's just bad. I don't like Jar Jar as a character at all in any way. Anakin being that I'm a rebel, immature, like I don't have to listen to what the council says kind of thing. This is a theme that's going to carry into the next movie as well. I find it really stupid that he verbalizes it. And again, I think that this is because we have a movie that is designed for 8-year-old boys. Shit dialogue. Shit dialogue, particularly for Anakin, I think that most of the lines given to him were paramountly terrible. I find it interesting that Mace Windu is the person who puts Anakin with Padme alone
That was so dumb.
and with the Emperor alone. Like, oh, go talk to Palpatine and he'll talk to Padme.
If
Just
anything,
like,
Anakin should have gone and done the assassin bullshit, or somebody else on the Jedi Council should have. I
right.
was saying this while we were watching it of, okay, Obi-Wan, we're going to separate you and your Padawan, even though the whole point is that he's learning from you
All the time.
all the time. And it's just like, you shouldn't be getting solo missions
No.
until you are a Jedi yourself,
Yeah.
in my
You
opinion.
know, you guys can go
But
and
you guys
Jabu,
need to
which
go
is
bone, so like, go do that
exactly.
in
There's
the
a lot of
way.
bones going on
Go
over
do that
there.
on
Except
Lake Como.
at this point, we haven't seen any legit chemistry between them. There's only one scene that I think has legit chemistry, and that is the one where they're about to go and get executed. And that
That
is
too,
mostly coming
from
from
Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman herself.
I also think it could have been an added little cute thing where I also love a good like secretive like little
Yeah.
something
Where they're.
where they're kind of doing it under Obi-Wan's nose or
Yeah.
whatever, which it very vaguely is in the next movie,
Maybe. Yeah.
very vaguely.
Yeah.
But I think that that could have been interesting of like, Obi-Wan can still have his side quest of trying to figure stuff out while they can be left alone at times, but I don't know.
It could have been
It
completely
rubs me the
different,
wrong way.
but it's not. So here we go. I just find it so interesting that Mace Windu is so dumb and maybe under the influence of the Emperor that he does this. Dumb.
But he's not next movie.
I have like the lack of chemistry or poor dialogue or poor direction as the romance is not very
They will not
convincing.
touch each other.
Yeah, and so we talked about this briefly when it was happening on screen. And
Or
no,
was it?
we do not do this in movie theaters, I hope.
We don't.
We don't, because I think that's terrible. But at home, things come out of our mouths that probably shouldn't when you're
Well,
watching a
when you've
movie.
watched it like 50 times,
That's
yeah.
true. So there are a couple of scenes. There's a dinner scene, there's a scene after, which is really kind of a confession of feelings scene. This confession of feelings scene, Padme has in her dominatrix outfit, which I love as an
That's
outfit. So
beautiful.
yeah, it's gorgeous. And there should be chemistry, and you get the feeling that what is lacking and what would make the dialogue more compelling is if they were touching each other, because then I think they would react to each other differently if they were actually touching each other, but they
Yeah.
don't touch each
They're
other.
sitting on the couch, and he could easily just put his hand on her hand or her ha his hand on her thigh or something, anything, or like brush like a tendril out of her hair out of her face or something.
Before this, they have had a kiss on the terrace, and she's got, again, gorgeous outfit, but totally backless. Fuck.
Yeah, craziness.
But he's talking about sand and her being smooth, and he touches her back, but it looks, and I'm sure that in circumstances like this, he's very hesitant, like he's expecting to be rebuffed. Should be fair.
Yes.
The thing about it is that when she allows it, she doesn't look like she's enjoying it, and he doesn't look like he's enjoying it.
They
It's
also
like,
had a line not too long ago about don't look at me like that, it makes me uncomfortable.
yeah, it's
Which
like,
you shouldn't have said at all.
no, like
She should have just walked away and been like a little blush away from whatever.
yeah, like if you were actually attracted to this guy,
Yes.
you wouldn't say, oh, it makes me uncomfortable, or you wouldn't say in the way
Or
that
you could
Amidala does.
say, don't look at me like that. Like, there are ways to do it where it's still flirty.
Yes, and there's nothing flirty about this.
Yeah, she's trying to be professional and he's ruining
Not, he's not. So yeah, I feel like there were so many opportunities to make this romance more credible, and they didn't take any of them. And
Correct.
it's so upsetting to me because you've got all of the ability,
You
but they
do.
just don't. There's such a power imbalance between them as a couple. It's like she's got all of the power and he's just constantly coming up wanting. And I think, that insecurity does feed his dark sideness, but
Yeah.
it also makes us root for them a little less.
Yeah.
And that's problematic.
I think that they easily could have done more about that where he lowers her defenses. And
Yeah.
that gets her into trouble in some way or another. Like, for example, like him wanting to go to Tatooine. This easily could have been implemented. He wants to go to Tatooine, and he's just like, I'm not asking you to come with me. You can stay here if you feel more safe. And she's like, no, I'm going to go with you. And it's like lowering her defenses, and that's what gets her in trouble, maybe on Tatooine in some way.
Right.
Like anything.
Right. I mean, that is the dynamic of why she goes to Tatooine, but nothing neg there's no negative for her. There's no real risk for her in going.
Yeah, again, that's why I
So
wanted to add more spies and more espionage because it would feel more like a threat to, and it would make sense why Obi-Wan was so annoyed when he found out they were on Tatooine and having to send his message to them there and being like, "I why they could have just stayed on Naboo. What are you doing?"
I
And
don't
it's like,
know.
"Great question, Obi-Wan. We don't know what the fuck they're doing."
Some of the lack of creative thought from George Lucas gets on my nerves. I mean, the man's creative. Look at these movies. They're beautiful. They're all these worlds and things
That's not
and
just his
clones and
creativity,
whatever.
though. The set people, the costume people, the design, CGI.
Some four-armed alien in a 1950s American diner. Explain this shit to me. I do not understand why there would be a 1950s American diner on Coruscant. Explain this to me.
They gotta eat like their flapjacks somewhere.
Okay. The sand speech. Fucking terrible. It's so sad.
But it's so quotable. Every time I go to go to the beach, I think of it.
It's true.
Because I
Well, we
do
talked
hate
about it.
sand.
Oh, she does. Directing the writing, again, there are weaknesses here that are hard to overcome. And of course, I say that because I'm looking at the actual story as opposed to the visual. And I think from a visual direction standpoint or sound direction or whatever, there's a lot of brilliant stuff going on here. I think they've won a bunch of Academy Awards for this. And I think that that's deserved, absolutely. And it is hard to do, like editing all that stuff, sound editing, all of that is, it's amazing what they've been able to accomplish, but you're skipping over the thing that we go to the movie for, which is the story. And I think that that's just hard to forgive. The fights, like all of them, are cool looking, but
Go on way too
they
long.
go on and they're not always tied clearly to the plot, which
Right.
is disappointing.
Yeah.
How the fuck do C-3PO and R2-D2 not know about Owen and Law and Beru and Lars and these people who live on Tatooine in later movies? I'm spoiling stuff. It pisses me off. It will come up again. You are warned. So let's see. What? Yeah, I was kind of surprised that Anakin got Darth Maul music when he heads out to attack the Sand People. But again, I love it when they finally switch to the Vader music. I think that's great. Yoda is the predictor of the past. Oh, after this whole fucking battle on Geonosis with, the clones and the drones or the droids, all of this stuff, all awful, all of these confrontations, everything else, and what, and like a big fight between Yoda and Dooku, and what Yoda has to say afterwards is, "Gone to the dark side," has Dooku. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? We've known this for a while now. Do you actually have to say that again? It's just ridiculous, but it's not, that is just representative of multiple lines that Yoda has in this movie that are completely meaningless. Poor lines for C-3PO and R2-D2. They have been comic relief in other movies, particularly in the original trilogy, and they're in fact funny and compelling characters in that. I think they were trying to get back to that, particularly with this movie, and it fails. And I think it's because there are poor lines or poor timing or something. It's just not well done. And Padme is a tiny bit of a damsel in distress on Geonosis, which again,
They could have
then
made
she
that better.
they could have made it better, but eventually in the whole execution sequence she does really, really well. So
Yeah.
I feel like, again, some of it's the writing, and some of it, like as a character, maybe it does make sense. Like, she's been all princessy and has these beautiful clothes, and then she's got to switch gears,
Yeah.
and she doesn't switch gears right away.
I feel like they could have done something cool with her having the very pretty clothes, but them also having battle functions. Because she should be more aware. Like,
In my sleeves, I have a blaster.
here's, yeah, no, literally, in what could have been so cool, again, if we added more espionage and like her having to look over her shoulder constantly and her being like, I don't need any more protection that I already have on me. Like, she
Godliness.
got tons of knives and all of her like pretty boots and her dominatrix outfit, there are hidden knives everywhere,
Yeah,
and her being
or
like
like throwing
prepared
stars, like ninja throwing stars.
because
That'd be
like she
good.
felt so helpless in the last movie that she had to y rely so much on her decoys. And I think that it would have been a great moment of growth for her to not rely on the decoy and to
Yeah.
rely on herself more,
Yeah, I
and
agree.
to be like, all right, well, I'm not gonna be caught off guard next time. Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
That would have been great.
It would have been great, but that didn't happen. So we have to deal with what we're dealing with. That is all I had to say about cons for this movie. Obviously, I liked it better than the last movie. Like,
Yeah,
I'm
so ranking right now is
now.
this one is above Phantom Menace.
That doesn't say much, but it does in the sense
It
that it
does.
does. So we have more to come.
I'm so curious how the original. Well, I'm okay. So here's the thing. I'm so curious how the sequel trilogy is going to measure up to this one.
I am too, honestly, because
Because
it's been a
I liked a lot
while.
about the sequel trilogy that many people didn't, the third movie notwithstanding, and
We definitely need to watch this again because it's been a
Yeah, it has
while.
been a while.
And
Obviously, the
because
original trilogy we already know, but
when
like,
I rewatch or when something comes on TV and I just leave it on, it's gonna be original trilogy almost every time.
can I do a really quick like prediction for what I think mine's going to be?
Go for it.
Okay. What mine is probably going to end up looking like is number one, Empire Strikes Back. It's always been my number one, really. After even with my Attack of the Clones phase, I've always really liked Empire. So Empire, New Hope, maybe Force Awakens over Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, I'm not an
Then
Ewok girl, so
I'm
you
not
know.
really either. And so Empire, New Hope, Force Awakens, last return sorry, Return of the Jedi, Last Jedi, Revenge of the Sith, Attack of the Clones. Oh wait, no, sorry. Before Revenge of the
I gotta
Sith,
write it down because the
maybe
names overlap so much as
I
to
know.
just.
Last Jedi, Revenge of the Sith. Oh, maybe Revenge of the Sith and Last Jedi might change. And then me. So I'm thinking Last Jedi, Revenge of the Sith, Attack of the Clones, and then ooh, then let me think. Then Rise of Skywalker, then Phantom Menace. Phantom Menace is always going to be my least favorite, no matter how stupid Rise of Skywalker is.
And
It at
it is.
least
Yeah.
has some charisma.
It has some characters we like.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that we don't like some of the characters in Phantom Menace. It's just they're some done such poor service.
So again, so that for me later on, this is my prediction. Empire, New Hope. Fuck me. I just said that. I just
Okay,
said this.
so yours is five,
Five,
four,
four, seven,
seven.
six, three, eight, two, nine, one.
Okay.
That's my
So,
prediction for what that is probably going to look
well,
like.
my first three and my last two are definitely the same. Yeah, for me, New Hope, well, no, I shouldn't say that. New Hope's number one for me. It's always going to be number one for me. I love New Hope. I just,
New Hope is fantastic.
it is such an entry into the universe. I love the twist to darkness in Empire, and I know everybody, like, oh, Empire's the best movie, blah, blah, blah. I'm more of an optimist than that, I guess, for no good reason. And
Yeah.
no reason that is based on reality in any way, but I love New Hope, and it's got a soft spot
There's
for
also a
me.
potential for my first two to change, honestly, because New Hope and Empire can switch for me. It has happened before.
Yeah.
But I do think Empire overall has more stuff that I really like. And maybe I think New Hope is more tightly written, but I love the development that Empire brings.
Yeah. So yeah, I
Your New
can
Hope
see
Empire, then what?
that Force Awakens, which I really just love because it's in
I haven't
everyone's
watched it in a
tongue.
while.
I haven't either, but you know, there's so much fan service and I'm a fan. So I understand that it's fan service. I don't give a fuck. I love it. And I love the introduction of Kylo Ren.
Oh, it's so good. Adam Driver.
He's
They
great. He's
wasted
great
him. They
because
wasted Daisy
oh
Ridley and
yeah.
John Boyega. Is that his name,
Yeah,
John Boyega?
Toyota. Yeah, he
Oh,
did.
and Isaac, Oscar Isaacs.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, such a great new cast.
Yeah, I mean,
Oh.
and that's why it's Force Awakens is way up there.
Yeah.
Honestly, I struggle with where I put Return of the Jedi
Return of the
versus
Jedi is hard.
like in a just basic prediction. This is hard.
Yeah, the middle is going to be the hard
The
part for
middle is
me.
definitely the hard part for
So
me.
far, like with the two that we've done, it's not hard,
Yeah,
but
it's not. You say that I actually might put this movie ahead of Revenge of the Sith. I'm not sure.
I haven't watched Revenge of the Sith in a while.
I haven't either. That's why I'm a little bit hesitant to actually flesh out this middle part, but Return of the Jedi. I'm not an Ewok girl, but I do love the characters. So I'm gonna put it as my fourth. I'm not sure it's gonna stay there. I would probably, gosh, it's hard. So I'm not sure where Revenge of the Sith versus Attack of the Clones goes right now. Revenge of the Sith is a really good movie, but I haven't seen it in a long time. There are things I love about it. There are things that I think are stupid.
Oh, yes, it's a prequel, so.
So I might actually put Attack of the Clones, then Last Jedi, then Revenge
Revenge
of
of the
the
Sith.
Sith.
Then,
And then Rise of Skywalker and Phantom Menace.
interesting.
Because I don't know. I mean, again, anywhere after Force Awakens, anything could happen. Well, I say that. The last two are going to be the last two.
I think.
I'm 100% certain it's going to be nine, then one at the end.
Oh, that's almost certain for me as well. I think. Personally, the reason Revenge of the Sith might be higher than Attack of the Clones for me at this stage in the game, it used to be not that. It used to be Attack of the Clones was much higher for me, and after rewatching it, I found all these glaring issues, and so I'm just like, oh. But Revenge of the Sith, I feel, has better motivated fights than
That's true.
Attack of the Clones does.
Well, and they're
Although
beautifully
Attack of the Clones,
done.
yeah, both of them have really well done fights, but I feel like Revenge of the Sith has better fights as far as like motivation and atmosphere and whatever.
I
And
haven't seen it in a while. I need to watch it again.
yeah,
I
and we
just
will
definitely
next.
do.
So
I agree with you. I think that there are like beautifully choreographed and motivated fights. I think there are, again, the stakes keep rising, and I like that. So we'll have to see. We'll definitely have
There's
to see.
definitely shit in there that I'm just like, what the fuck are you
I
doing?
think that's true with all of these movies. But
Most of them.
I'm looking forward to sharing it with you. We hope that you join us. And
Cheers.
cheers.